Start again, all right?
Start from welcome again. Just say it again.
Welcome to the LGBT Community Radio Show here on WPKN 89.5 FM. Also streaming live at WPKN.org or on your Android or Apple app at WPKN Live. I'm Andrew Ross, your host, with my co-host Anthony Christy, Executive Director of the Triangle Community Center, and we will have our first guest, the Executive Director of the New Haven Pride Center,
Patrick Dunn, who's waiting online for us. Hi, Anthony, and my name is Bonna. I'm a friend, too.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the LGBTQ Community Radio Show today. So we're really excited. Our first guest is going to be Patrick Dunn, the newly appointed Executive Director of the New Haven Pride Center. Have you guys heard about this? It's been kind of all over the LGBT news in Connecticut recently, so we're pretty excited to have him on the show and talk to him today.
No, I think it's really cool. It's really neat to have you, Patrick. We're glad you could be with us today. To start off, I hope you could tell our listeners where the Pride Center is in New Haven, how it got started, what its mission is, and what your vision for the center is going to be now that you are going to be the one giving it the direction.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is Patrick Dunn. I'm the newly appointed executive director of the New Haven Pride Center, which is at 84 Orange Street in downtown New Haven. We've been around for over 20 years, serving the LGBTQ plus community any way and every way we possibly can. We were originally founded by John Allen, who did a kind of dissertation and study of what the New Haven County LGBTQ community needed while he was a graduate student at Southern Connecticut State University. And out of that study, they decided, you know, based off of the data, the best thing that we needed was a gathering place for the community to fight for their rights and gather and celebrate our history and who we are as a community. You know, John always attributes his study to what he calls the Connecticut or the New Haven Stonewall event, which was in 1993 when the City of New Haven Board of Alders voted by one vote to deny LGBTQ people's domestic partnership rights. And following that vote, there was a lot of anger and frustration in New Haven, and that kind of inspired John to do his study, which brought us to where we are today.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. It's incredible. So Patrick, you know, can you kind of give us the synopsis of where the center is at this moment? And maybe if you have, you know, a 2 to 3 year vision for where you would like the center to be a few years from now. I'm sure you do.
Sure. The center is, you know, it's been all volunteer run for the past 20 plus years, which means that the center's availability for programming, openness to the community, and activism in securing rights and fighting for what we need has all been based on the generosity of the board members and the volunteers that are willing to open the doors for the community or plan programs for us to enjoy. So it's been, you know, some years better, other years worse. Funding has kind of come and gone over the years. There was one point a couple years ago where we were less than 30 days from closing our doors because we had so little funding. And so, what we're really doing is almost kind of a complete restart of the organization. You know, I've been spending a lot of time. I actually don't even start technically working there until August 1, but we've been spending a lot of time really looking at everything that we do and how we can do it more efficiently, better, and really kind of look to what the community needs. You know, when I think about where we might be in 3 years, I hope that we will be in a place that we're a robust center of activity for the LGBTQ community, not just in New Haven County, but kind of all over the state, just like what TCC is, you know, really putting ourselves out there and doing exciting programming that brings people to the center. And then, you know, for those moments when there's groups of people that need the center not to be where it is because that's not a safe space for them, or they can't come to downtown taking the center to their community and creating a safe space within their own community. So that's the kind of, in a nutshell, 3-year vision.
That's awesome. And so obviously you've had a lot of conversations since the announcement's been made. Do you have a sense, have community members come forward and told you about some of the needs they feel like are unmet in New Haven County at this point?
Yeah, it's been really powerful for me to have a lot of open dialogue with a lot of different people in our community. I've been, doing everything I can to try to connect with anybody and everybody I know who either has a really positive or fantastic view of the center, or people who were really turned off by maybe one experience or had a moment where they didn't think that the center was interested in their portion of the community. So I've been, doing a lot of open door meetings and conversations. And, one of the things that I'm hoping to institute now that I'm going to be physically at the center more starting August 1st is actually have kind of like coffee with the ED open hours, where anybody can come in and be like, hey, this is, this is what I think you guys could do that would really help my community or really help me. I've had some really fantastic conversations with everybody, from the really kind of vocal members of our community that we all know, people like Tony Furiolo, to the kind of people that nobody knows. There's this great community organizing that's happening in the Dixwell neighborhood here in New Haven, which is a predominantly Black neighborhood, and the head librarian and then several of her employees are all working to kind of create this kind of LGBTQ safe space in the library, because for them, that's a safe space within their own community. And so Diane Brown, who's the head librarian, I have been having all these great conversations about, like, what can the center do to give them resources so that then their programs are more robust and really helping those kids or those young adults in that neighborhood that need that resource. And then above and beyond that, one of the things that's great about a community center is that we can really work with lots of different kinds of people and do lots of different things, because ultimately our mission is to serve the community, which is so broad. So, I'm already having wonderful conversations with groups about opening the doors for free testing events. And, we get emails daily for people looking for support networks or support groups. So developing new support groups and within the center so that we can really be kind of grassroots in the community making a difference.
Wow, that is just so incredible.
One of the things I was wondering about when I had read on your Facebook page or your online webpage, you had mentioned the people that had gotten the together, and I was just wondering, it looked like there were a lot of various groups that were in need of a centralized space, and that is also part of what was the genesis of New Haven Pride Center coming together. What are some of those programs, and how are they going to be things incorporated, do you think, into New Haven Pride as your projects, or will these still be continuing community projects going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the great things that I'm trying to do right now is really listen and hear what I am hearing from the community, and then try to implement things that will really be impactful to those groups. Right now the center is in a big changing stage, which means that there's a lot of need for resources, and whether or not it's intellectual resources or financial resources or whatever, however you define the term resources. But how do I take what I have in those resources and really convert them into what the community needs? So a good example of that is one of the things that I've been hearing is that the older community feels that they need more programming for them, more ways that they can engage, more ways that they can connect with people. So I've been working with AARP over the last few months to develop a whole series of programs that we will launch in the fall, specifically geared towards conversations and programs around the idea of aging in the LGBTQ community. So we'll be doing some documentary screenings with conversations following. We're going to be doing a big conversation about kind of retirement, and then, you know, what is healthy aging, you know, whether it's healthy aging physically, or is it healthy aging in the sense of financial health or resource health. I mean, one of the biggest challenges in our community is, you know, 36 years after the first headline in the New York Times about the AIDS crisis, there's people that are long-term survivors that have been on disability or not worked for 30-plus years that are going to get someday, if not already there, the retirement age. And we as a community need to rally around these people because, you know, they may have been told that they were going to die in the 90s or in the 80s, and they didn't, thankfully, and they're still with us. And now they might be 65, 70 looking at retirement, but don't necessarily have the resources to retire. So how do we as a community come together and help our aging community? You know, things, and that's just one example of one of the things that where I'm hearing from the community, we need this and how we're trying to respond.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Not to change the subject too much, but why don't you tell us a little bit about, we just had the Pride event in Norwalk in June, and the unique thing is that yours is in September. And yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Pride New Haven will be this September yet again. We typically do ours in September, partially because we don't want to compete with yours. but partially, you know, New Haven is such a college student town. I think it's something like a third of our population leaves when the university is close, you know, having six major academic institutions in the city. So our Pride this year will be September 15th to the 17th, and we have 3 days of activities that will range everything from cultural tours, historic walking tours, to our big block party that we do on Center Street, where we shut down the street and have a big party in front of Gotham City. We also will have a all-women comedy night on the Friday evening, and many other really exciting activities, including a Sunday traditional tea dance. So I think we have something like 12 to 15 events planned for the 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to find a way to connect with everybody and make sure that there's something that appeals to as many people in the community as possible. You know, the other thing about New Haven Pride that is, I think, really cool is because we have multiple stages that we set up during the block party. We have a lot of local performers that come from all over Connecticut, and actually our chair for our entertainment committee, Casey Fitzpatrick, just did a big call out for performers. So if you're interested in performing in New Haven Pride, reach out to Casey Fitzpatrick on Facebook.
Awesome. Very awesome. So, like, Patrick, how is that different from New Haven Pride last year? It sounds like it's a lot bigger. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, so traditionally New Haven Pride has expanded over 3 days, at least for the last maybe 5 years. You know, most of the events were still centered around this block party event, which has been kind of a staple to New Haven, Pride New Haven for many, many years. But one of the things that I felt really strongly about as we approach this year is kind of finding different ways to celebrate Pride. You know, me personally, I'm a big activist. I have tried to use my voice when I can on things like social media or when I'm at a show or in an event as much as I can. And so for me, like, I wanted to layer in some of that kind of stuff. You know, one of the things that I'm hoping that we can do either leading into Pride weekend or during Pride weekend is a big town hall where we can gather the community together to really talk to hopefully some of our political members of our community about things that we're seeing in our community that's a problem. You know, I'm trying to work with some of our cultural institutions that we have, such as the Yale Center for British Art or some of these other really fantastic resources that we have here in New Haven to create curatorial tours or tours of their archives that are specifically queer, queer history or queer art focused. You know, all of these institutions in New Haven have these incredible archives of work from all over the world, and most of them, if not all of them, have fabulous queer archives. So, you know, none of us really get to see them because they're probably in a basement somewhere. So how do we pull them out so that more of our community can see them? So those are the kinds of things that I think will be new and different and exciting. You know, and for example, this Sunday tea dance that will be hosted by Dandelions, or the Friday night comedy show that's going to be hosted by Poppy Chaplin, from who many of those listeners may know from Provincetown. You know, these are the kind of add-in extra things that we're trying to do just to give people more opportunity to celebrate, more opportunity to come together.
So that sounds great. Now, how can people get a hold of, you know, we have your number, but but the thing is I'm sure you would love a lot of people to call in and participate in helping you get this together. It definitely takes a lot of man hours. So what is a number that people can call in or come down to your center? What's the address for the New Haven Pride Center?
So the New Haven Pride Center is at 84 Orange Street, right in downtown New Haven. We're right around the corner from Gotham City, for anybody who knows where that is. And the best place to get information and stay up to date about the center right now is to follow us on Facebook, New Haven Pride Center. So it's just our name. And specifically, if you're interested in Pride-focused stuff, we have a separate Facebook page called Pride New Haven. And the reason I should say follow us on Facebook is our website is currently under construction, and we're getting ready to launch a new website sometime in August. It's one of the big things that I'm working on with one of our board members. So that's why I say go to Facebook. We're constantly posting on Facebook. And then if you want to reach out to me personally about ideas, thoughts, perspectives, or experiences that you've had or not had at the center, the center's email address is nhglcc@gmail.com. So it stands for New Haven Gay and Lesbian Community Center, which was our founding name. That's a great way to get in touch and stay up to date.
Oh, that's cool. Just one last thing in my curiosity. How did it get changed from the old name to New Haven Pride? I think that's great.
Well, one of the reasons that the center, I know, changed the name, this was many years ago, it was actually a member of the community pointed out that by calling it the Gay and Lesbian Community Center, it became very limiting and also did not include the entire community. So, you know, it was a trans member of our community that pointed out, like, I'm not included in your name when you call it the Gay and Lesbian Community Center. So the board came together and revamped the name so that it was more inclusive and more reflective of the rainbow that is our community.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Patrick, and thank you for taking this position on behalf of our community. And, you know, I'm just so excited to see what you're going to help the New Haven Pride Center to accomplish in the next few years. Thank you.
And I can't wait to the party.
Yeah, I can't
wait
to keep working with you, Anthony.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm looking forward to that party in September.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that tea.
It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Awesome.
Again, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you so much, and have a great day, guys.
You too, Patrick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So this would introduce the What's Going On events in our community segment. July 28th, Let's Have a Kiki. Blondes Have More Fun review at Partners 365.
Yeah, and do you know who that is, Andy? Do you know who's running that show? The guest, actually, we just had on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. But yeah, Patrick Dunn is actually Kiki Lucia, who's also a drag queen. So that's her show this Friday. So if you want to see Patrick in action and doing an amazing drag performer this Friday at Partners, go right ahead, Andy. You want to read the rest of the events?
Sure. And on the Saturday, July 29th, 9 to 2 a.m. is TCC's Twist Danbury LGBTQ dance party at Szechuan of Bethel 89 Stony Hill Road, Bethel, Connecticut. And there's another one on Saturday, August 5th, Soul Haven Heatwave Edition, New Haven's most queer dance party at 168 York Street Cafe, 168 York Street, New Haven. And
great. And so I think we're going to take a short music break, and then coming up, we're going to be talking to Suzanne Kachmir, hopefully I got her name right, from the City Lights Art Gallery, about the amazing event that happened last week and what their gallery is doing to support the community right now.
Conservatives think it's a decision, and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other f***s behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Play, don't press pause. Progress march on with the veil over our eyes. We turn our back on the cause till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway plagued by pain in their heart, a world so hateful some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear. Underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
And I can't change.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And so we have Suzanne is going to be calling in just a minute. to talk about this amazing event that we were actually all at last Thursday. And Bonna, do you want to kind of give us your impression of what happened there?
Well, what was really cool is it was also in a really brand new space for them in a really neat building. But the same-sex art exhibit is in its seventh year, and Triangle Community Center is its sponsor. And what was really neat was going in and seeing the various artists that had come up with some incredibly beautiful imagery for the LGBT community as the way they felt as LGBT artists. One that I loved in particular was a mixed media type of presentation where the person had used needlepoint and beads for the hair. There was a ceramicist who had done several pieces that were in that looked like little Japanese bowls that you would get, and they were all in the rainbow colors. It just was really, really neat to be there and see everybody there. And then we went to the parade where we went around part of Bridgeport, which was a lot of fun. And then they came back for the
variety show, right?
Yeah. Of which Kiki was there.
Yeah, right. Kiki, Patrick Dunn performed again. So I think we have Suzanne on the line. Welcome, Suzanne. Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me. PKN is so great to keep inviting us back on to talk about these events. And thank you also, Anthony and Andrew, for inviting me on the show, and to the Triangle Community Center for being a sponsor and an active partner in this event. We really appreciate your help.
Well, thanks so much, Suzanne. And yes, thank you, WPKN, for letting us have this show and talk about these important events happening. But so, Suzanne, do you want to tell us more about City Lights Gallery, what you do as an organization, and kind of the premise for the event you had last week?
Sure. Well, first of all, we have a very long mission statement, but the short one is that we serve the community through art. And that takes on many forms, and one of them is through our exhibits that we hope address important issues and reflect the wonderful diversity and issues and concerns of our greater Bridgeport, Fairfield County, and even New Haven County region. So we had Ricky Mestre, who's an artist in Bridgeport and runs the program director of Soundview. It's a television station, public access in Bridgeport. 7 years ago, asked us if we would put on a gay art show, and we thought about what would be the themes and how would we make it important, and what would the mission be of it. And we decided that inclusivity was very important, and therefore we weren't going to silo the exhibit or the people or the project and say, okay, you have to identify with the LGBTQ community to be in this exhibit. So people who may or may not be gay or may have family members, a neighbor, we at this point it's about breaking down barriers and just being respectful and understanding that love is love. So that's pretty much the concept of our show.
That's amazing. And so how has the event kind of evolved in the last 7 years?
I have to say in the beginning, we were a little concerned about how we would be received, 7 years ago. And honestly, we have been pretty happy with the interest and the welcoming feeling that we've gotten from everyone to do this exhibit. Starting with my board of directors, that was the first conversation. Okay, we're going to do this exhibit. How is it going to affect the gallery? What will be the repercussions? And it's been great. And, then after we did the exhibit for a few years, and we, would talk about, since sex is part of it and there's nudity in the show, we also had to talk about things like that, where do we, to make it family friendly, where do we draw the line, et cetera, things like that. And these are very controversial, and everybody might not always agree with, what we came up with, but, again, to not create barriers, right? This was the concept of this show. We thought, we've come up with, we hope, which is a provocative show that also many people can come and see, and whether, you know, you don't know much or haven't been exposed to the LGBTQ community, you can come and see, you know, this exhibit and, you know, broaden your horizons a little bit, or be supportive, or maybe learn something about yourself. So after we had this show for a few years, then it was, okay, we're going to have a Pride March. And again, that was Ricky Mestre who approached us and said, let's do this. And so we tried it, and I have to say, bravo to Bridgeport. We have been so well received with both of our mayors. As you saw, if anybody saw the Connecticut Post or some of the things on Facebook, the most recent mayor actually marched with us in the parade. Wow. But we've been supported every year. I can remember Mayor Finch coming and speaking at our other events that we've done, and, you know, in our other locations. So I'm very happy that you know, that we have had the community come together for this show.
Incredible, incredible.
Now, how do you get your artists? I'm sure a lot of people want to be there. Is the selection process hard? Or again, you said that there is the need to address the community and making it family friendly. So do you have a problem with getting some pieces in or not?
No. Well, you know, this is, I mean, again, these are my, you know, ways of curating exhibits. And a lot of my background is as a fine artist and really not as a curator, but as a professional student and someone that has, I have a master's degree in figurative art, but I have tried many or studied many different techniques in art, three-dimensional and two-dimensional visual art. And so when I critique work, I have a concept. My way of judging work is design and content primarily, and craft, you know. So those are, that's it. I mean, so what are they saying? How do the choices that they made artistically reflecting what they're trying to say, and then how well is it executed? So with that being said, in a community-based organization where we are trying to give voice to some people who might not have exhibited before or are saying something that perhaps no other artist is saying, we allow for a range of ability and artists of different levels and experiences. And sometimes, I have to say, some artists of a high quality, I've had sometimes people question me and say, well, oh, you know, my work is at this level, and you have, you know, novice artists in the show as well. That is really something that we do, and I don't apologize for that, because I want to get the entire, as much of the arc of visual communication out there as I can. And putting things on that grand scale of work at different levels and at different voices and with different backgrounds, I think enables the viewer to make choices and see things in context of other work. So but I always want a strong show. You know, I definitely want a strong show. So what I often do is invite artists, you know, so we have guest artists, and then we do a call for art as well. And then sometimes space is a limitation for us, you know, because if we get a lot of people coming in, unfortunately, there's going to be someone who might not be able to put a piece in, or maybe size is a factor. And so I might say, you know, is there something that's smaller? And my shows, I always say, they don't go past R. That's it, you know. So R is as far as we go with nudity or sexuality. And but again, we try to keep, and that's pretty much my thought for most shows, is that there's going to be something, maybe which people might call an outsider artist or something like that. But I think that helps to keep everything at that point where you can make choices about what you're looking at and see things in context of other work. And, you know, especially when you're dealing with concepts that are important, I think we do need to keep different visual ideas out there, just like we need to have different voices. So, so what people do is we often have a call for art for this exhibit or for other ones, and we have a prospectus. And then again, my prospectus are never really that specific, because I feel if I come up with really specific prospectus, I might as well just do the art show myself. I want to get different ideas. That's part of the whole thing, is I'm encouraging others to say something that I never thought of saying. Even, for example, this show. It was Ricky Vestry who came to me and said, let's do this, you know, theme. So, I mean, I welcome that people can come to me with a new idea that I haven't thought about. So we put that out there, and then we asked people to submit JPEGs of their work to clgallerybpt@gmail.com, and in the subject line they put art for submission, and that's ongoing. People can send me artwork anytime, and I love to see work, and sometimes I build a show around what has been presented to me. You know, if something has fallen out or is precipitating out, I go, oh, we have an exhibit here. And then I also curate it, you know, or invite some artists. So now, since we've done the show for 7 years in a row, this show in particular, I'd say half the show are people that we invited back to show.
Oh, that's cool.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, and much more. No, that's really cool to know that you've got a lot of people that come back, because I was just impressed with the number of artists that you had selected to be there.
Yeah.
Now,
as you know, we've only been in this space since March, right? We moved above the Downtown Cabaret Theater, and we've only been there since March, so we're still getting used to how much work we can put in the exhibits. And also, one room is for framing, and another one is kind of, we call the kitchen boutique, so that's more like crafts and, maybe some fiber art, like as far in the craft, like artisanal things. So we have those two main rooms, and then a little additional area. So we have to get used to how much we can place. So I had to actually ask a lot of artists to give us a certain amount of work to put on the wall, and then if they were a photographer or a printmaker, we were able to put additional things in our flip file. So I just want to say, too, you know, the artwork is for sale, and it is great to support the artists and City Lights that way, because that is one of the reasons they put the work in the show. I know all the artists in this show are committed to supporting the LGBTQ community, and the things that, and the messages that they're creating are very insightful. So that I know is one of the reasons, but it would be great if we could sell some work. But if some of the stuff on the walls is not something you can afford, we actually have a Bridgeport Pride poster. Actually, we made two of them. That is very affordable. That's for $40. That people can come in and buy that and take a little bit of the show home with them. So every year now we're going to do a Bridgeport Pride poster, and then we also have Bridgeport Proud T-shirts. So we would hope people would come in and support the exhibit, which will be up until August 26th. And then, you know, everybody should come back for the Bridgeport Art Trail as well, which is November 9th through the 12th, when we have citywide celebration of art, where people can go to different artist studios and see where the work is made in Bridgeport. And I'm talking really quickly and kind of stumbling over my words, because, you know, I asked Nancy Moore to call in, who's one of the artists in this show. So,
and you said she'd be calling in about 3 minutes.
Okay,
So we will hopefully get that connection done up. But one of the things that I think is neat is where the location of the City Lights Gallery is, too, is in that area in Bridgeport that's seeming to have a neat little renaissance. You've got the Bijou Theater, where WPKN has its monthly music on film, and a lot of cute little cafes down there, and a lot of good food.
We're doing Glen Ballet Companies there,
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Downtown Cabaret Theater. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
And I have to say that
we're very happy.
Mm-hmm? You're very happy?
I'm going to say we're very happy with our new location. You know, for the if you came to the party, you know that we use the steps. We try to activate the steps.
Oh, yeah.
And we put a tent on the landing in front of the Cabaret Theater, and then that's where we had our wonderful Bridgeport Pride Review with Ballet LOL and the Liberace Tribute and, you know, all the other wonderful Ricky Mestre and the others that performed. It was really a great night, and it was a way to raise some funds for our gallery, and also we shared that with the New England Ballet Company. So through everybody's effort, I want to thank everybody that came out. You know, often our events are free and open to the public, but this one, we did have a ticketed event, and it did raise, and we were able to give $1,000 to the New England Ballet Company because of everybody's generosity. So we really appreciate that and feel that they are a very valuable part of the community, and we love having them as a neighbor. So again, I want to thank everybody.
Oh, wow, you're welcome.
Awesome.
And yeah. We again, Triangle Community Center in Norwalk was your partner, and
one of the partners. We've been participating in the event for about 3 years now, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's just such an important event, I think, for the community here in Bridgeport, because you know, we're based in Norwalk, and so a lot of what we do is in Norwalk, but we've been trying to, you know, we're now offering services at Center for Family Justice on Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport, and so we've really been trying to discover what more TCC can do for the Bridgeport community as being part of our Fairfield County community. And, you know, we've met leaders like Suzanne and Ricky, who just do so much already for the city and the LGBT community here. And, you know, I think this event has really grown to be kind of the premier LGBT event that everyone looks forward to in Bridgeport annually now.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great to hear. Well, thank you so much. You know, we actually think it's our second biggest event we do of the year, and I consider it a signature event now that City Lights does. And But partners like you really do, you know, we can plan all the things we want, but we really, you know, need to partner with others. And I'm just going to throw this out there that, you know, come January, I'm going to be bothering everybody because we really want to do a parade and would make it more festival-like. And we can see that we were able to add on a performance, you know, and that was well received. I think we had, you know, for our first time out, we had 82 people in the theater. And I mean, I thought that was a pretty good, that was at least half the theater was filled, you know. So we were very happy with that for our first time out. So we hope that we can grow those kind of things. And I just want to say that anybody has ideas about how to, you know, grow this or any other exhibits, we'd love to hear from them. And our number is 203-334-7748. And our website is www.citylightsgallery.org. Please, you know, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now, I guess, do we have... Okay, we're going to go to... I'm going to read a little thing here. We're going to be playing Faith by George Michael. And a musical note from Out.com on George Michael is that on August 19th, he is being granted the Elizabeth Taylor Humanitarian Award by Project Angel Food, which is an organization that cooks and delivers 10,000 meals every week to those that are sick and struggling with AIDS and other illnesses. The award will be presented at the charity's 27th annual gala in Los Angeles, and the award is being received by fellow LGBT musician Adam Lambert. Michael was a well-known advocate for fighting against the AIDS epidemic, especially in the early 90s. During this time, Project Angel Food was going through a financial crisis while trying to assist as many people suffering from the disease. Michael's, in 1993, left a $25,000 donation on the charity's doorstep. This act of selflessness continued up until his death in 2016.
Because I gotta have faith.
Hey everyone, and we're back. So what an amazing show today with some great guests. We're actually just getting ready to wrap up, but we did want to kind of talk about the news of the day. I'm sure a lot of folks have maybe already heard by this point. It's Wednesday, July 27th today. Just this morning.
Oops, it's the 26th.
The 26th. Oh, so on Wednesday, July 26th this morning, President Trump via Twitter announced that, according to him, transgender people will no longer be allowed to serve in the military. And so it's obviously a horrible, horrible idea, because so many transgender people are already serving in the military and playing really important roles and serving our country in an incredibly patriotic way. And actually, the transgender community actually has a higher percentage of military veterans than most communities do. So what a horrible decision and horrible news. If anyone wants to go to Triangle Community Center's Facebook page, we've already posted information there about what folks can do to express their disappointment or concern about this decision directly to the White House. But Andy or Bonna, I don't know if you want to jump in. And
I think what's amazing to me is there was discussion in Congress last week about this, and it was to do with the funding bill. And I know that it was resoundingly, well, not resoundingly, but the nays did win, which meant that the bill went through, was able to go through clean without this attachment on it at that point. Because there are individuals who still have a problem accepting transgender and the misinformation that goes on with the overall expense and what it's going to do to our readiness. Right now, we have almost 7,000 men and women in uniform who are transgender. This is something that was just gone through with our military in the last administration, and was found to be something that was okay. I wish I could remember it, but there's a young lady who is graduating, a trans woman, who is graduating from West Point this year, who is going to be denied her commission. There is a member of SEAL Team 6, remember SEAL Team 6, who is a transgender woman. Now, I cannot conceive of how these two individuals would be a detriment to our readiness. What is also a very strange occurrence is that, well, I shouldn't say strange, he does everything by Twitter. But the fact is that he did not discuss this with the military. He blindsided the Joint Chiefs with a Twitter, and all they could respond to is that they would be waiting to follow the president on this lead. But we all knew that everything was supposed to take place at the beginning of July, and they put things on a six-month hold. I don't know where we're going, but Anthony can tell us a little bit about calling into the state to Triangle or an action.
Yeah, so I'll just repeat that again. If you want to maybe express your opinion about this directly to the White House, you can go to Triangle Community Center's Facebook page, and we've already posted a link there to be able to contact the White House directly. Of course, you know, the president does have executive power over the military, so he's really the only one that can now reverse this bad decision and discriminatory decision. But so that's important. Check out Triangle Community Center's Facebook page. Check out WPKN's Facebook page. We'll be posting this podcast later today. Thank you again to the station for allowing us to have this incredible show, and Andy Ross, our fearless leader, for keeping us on track and keeping us organized. And yeah, thanks so much, Bana, for being our new co-host today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
This June, the whaling town of Sag Harbor was once again the scene of a marathon reading of Herman Melville's Moby Dick. Locals read from the work at locations around town, including Canio's Books. Join us Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. for the Moby Dick Marathon.
Hi, I'm Ann. I'm a longtime listener of WPKN. I wanted to